I say pleasant good morning to all of you that are here this morning. We appreciate your presence, appreciate your good singing today. And I count it a privilege for me and Ms. Harco to be here this morning. And I trust that as we change the order of this service, that you will be in prayer for me and in prayer for yourselves, that the Lord this morning will condescend to our presence and make himself manifest to us in a way that only he can. I hope all of you have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. We're privileged to be blessed in so many ways that my vocabulary fails me to express that, but I trust this morning that you would be thankful in the things that God has blessed us with. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, and you read down through those verses and you'll find these words: rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, give thanks. Now don't go away from you and say, Brother Bergson and me agree that was for everything give thanks. That's not what it said. That's not what it implied. But it said in everything, give thanks. Because I don't care what the circumstance is. I don't care what the determinations of men may be, that we can give thanks because we have a God in heaven who is able to do above and beyond that which we ask or think. And we are thankful for that precious knowledge this morning. Before we go further, who do we need to remember this morning in public prayer? Are there any prayer requests this morning?
Brother Reed, I had a tumor and intensive care, and he's had some new lungs, lap lungs, everything's in pretty bad shape. My name's Sean Smith.
Thank you, Brother Frock. Who else? You know, there are many who we could talk about, and I'd ask you to pray for me and my family, and I know that you would request that, and there are many that we could list, and we'd ask you to pray for our nation as we come to a new year almost, and it's a wonderful experience for us to live in a nation where still on our God, on our money, we have the impression in God we trust. And in that today, we can give thanks for all the problems that may exist and the things that may seem around the corner every day. We can give thanks. This morning, Lord being my helper, I want to read to you from a familiar text and carry with it a somewhat unfamiliar character in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, Paul makes this statement, and I'm going to use the last phrase, which is a question that Paul asked the Roman church. Notice the terminology that he uses, and I hope that this will stand out of your mind in a special way. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the question. Will you pray with me? Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace today, realizing that the very best that we have to offer falls far short of what thy righteous law demands. We realize, Lord, that we fail so many times and come short of thy glory, that our feeble lips oftentimes tremble when we utter thy righteous and holy name. But Father, we are thankful that thou art a God who rules and overrules, who is able to do above and beyond that which we ask or think, and one who works his will in the army of heaven, the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, nor say unto him, Jehovah, why doest thou these things? Father, we are thankful today that we have the opportunity to meet with these here at Macedonia Church, this body of baptized believers, a part of thy broken creation that is gathered here in this beautiful place this morning to lift up our voices in praise and adoration to thy great name, and anticipating the preaching of the Word of God. But unless thou comest to where we are, unless thou illuminates our minds and hearts and souls and gives us a tongue of utterance, we recognize today that our efforts here will be in vain. But we are thankful, Father, if thou art pleased to bless us, we can leave here and say, surely the Lord is in this place. Father, we are thankful for each one that's here. We're thankful for the faithfulness of these thy people and the many others that are assembled this morning throughout our great land. Bless those who stand behind this sacred desk wherever they are today, that they might lift up the name of King Emmanuel, and may they preach the truth with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, and in doing so, may thy name be glorified and the church be upbuilded in the truth as it is found in the gospel. If there would be one here searching and looking out the way designed, would you bless the gospel to their hearts and minds, that they might have the unction of thy Holy Spirit to take up their cross and follow after thee, trusting and obeying the promise that is made in thy word. Father, we ask now that you would go further with us, that you would give us grace to preach those things that our mind has developed, that you would help us to set our affection on heaven and divine things. And when we've left here with fond anticipation, may we look forward to returning again. Continue with us now. Lead, guide, direct us. Watch over and care for us through life's uneven journey. Help us to remember thy blessings that have followed us like an ever-flowing stream all the days of our life. And when we've come to the end of the way, that we can say in the triumph of the living faith, come welcome death, I'll gladly go with thee. We know, Lord, these are great blessings, but we know that you're a great and independent God. And what we fail in asking, we only trust you'll not fail in granting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When you began to read in the Bible, you will find question after question after question that the apostles posed to the churches where they labored. And even in the experience and life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, time after time, those who sought to bring a conflict in his teaching questioned him about the truth that he labored so abundantly to present to the early church. Now, many of them didn't go about the questions to find out the truth, but they were only trying to bring a conflict in the teachings of our Savior. Now, they were going about it legally all right, But my friend, you remember this. Everybody that is seeking legality is not always seeking spirituality. Some of the greatest legalists that you'll read about in the Bible were the greatest enemies that our Lord Jesus Christ possessed. But it was hard for the early church to grasp many of the things which more especially the apostle preached, because they were a mystery that had been kept shut up since the foundation of the world. And now they were revealed to the early church after the resurrection of Christ as they had never been revealed before. And you remember this, and I don't have time to develop it now, not belabor the point, but there were many, many things that could not be understood until after the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And as Paul began to preach here, he began to label these questions to those believers that he began to preach to. And one of those things was here, if God be for us, the question is asked, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now you notice, it was he that spared not his own son. It was he that delivered him up for us all. And he says, how shall not he with him also freely give us all things?
Amen.
You see, those questions bind together the truths of the gospel. But then he doesn't stop there. The question is asked, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You see, that is a prosecutorial term. Who's going to bring anything against those who have been justified by the highest authority? Who can lay anything to their charge? That's the question. If God be for us, who can be against us? You remember that? I borrowed this statement from somebody, and I don't know who it was. I can't claim it as my own. But I'll give it to you for food for thought today. And I say this, to know the will of God is the greatest knowledge that I can have. And to do the will of God is the greatest challenge that I have as a child of God in life. And well, that's just as true for you today as it is for me. Now I want you to remember that, because it ties together with an experience of a man that I'm going to talk to you about that's rather unfamiliar to the world. And his name is Gideon. Gideon lived in a time when there was no king in Israel. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 6 that every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now you know that's a sad state, isn't it? We almost live in a land like that today, where every man does about what is right in his own eyes and doesn't want to be questioned about it. Well, that was the case here in the day of Gideon. There was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, here was a man that was an instrument that God was going to use, and yet the circumstances that surrounded him seemed almost insurmountable. You know, the word Gideon, the name Gideon, means hewer. Some of you young people don't know what it means to hew out a log or hew timber, but that's exactly what this means. This man was a great agriculturalist. If today, he'd probably be a professor at Berea College or Auburn University or Mississippi State or somewhere like that. But he was an agricultural genius, about all I read about him. His name means hewer, the feller of trees, F-E-L-L-E-R, the cutting down of the tree, the master of it. And he lived in a time when the children of Israel, now this wasn't children of the devil now, but you notice what he says now in Judges chapter 6 and verse 1, that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Now Midianites, or the Midianites, were the enemy of all of those that were around them. The hordes that they possessed as numbers were insurmountable to the children of Israel, or to anybody else that was in the geographical area where they were. But the children of Israel did evil, or that which was wrong. They sinned to the sight of the Lord, and because of what they did, the Lord, under the canopy of his providence, delivered the children of Israel into the hand of the enemy. And the Bible says, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel had to dwell in dens in the mountains and caves and strongholds. Now I want you to get this picture in your mind, but I don't want you to forget, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so it was when Israel had sown. The Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And these enemies of Israel, whom God sent against them because of their sinfulness, destroyed their crops, their livelihood, their livestock, everything they had. The Lord suffered the enemy to destroy it because of their sinfulness. The very first verse of that chapter is the key to the whole book of Judges. The Bible says they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and they left no sustenance for Israel, not a sheep, nor an ox, nor an ass. Now, what a poverty-stricken people God's people were. Don't forget that. And they couldn't lay the blame on God. They couldn't lay the blame on somebody else. But the problem was in their lap.
Yeah.
You know, when I started college, I didn't skip a summer. I graduated from high school and started college in the month of May. And there's a girl that was valedictorian in my class, and she was I thought that she was the smartest girl in the world, and she was really a brilliant person. I hadn't seen her in years. But she went to college, and she made it pretty well the first year, but the second year, something happened. I don't know what it was, but anyway, she failed. She flunked that. Had to go home. Well, her mother and daddy was all upset about it, and they went to the dean, and they began to look and talk, and they got out all the records, and they said, well, this girl, it appears to us, just really wasn't suited for college when she left high school. That was the trouble. It was a high school fall. Son went to Mr. Kirk, who was the principal at Plainview High School in Rainsville, Alabama, and they got out all the records and they looked. And they began to look, they began to study and study, and they began to determine. And when their determinations were over with and the discussions were finished, well, I just don't believe she was ready for high school when she left grammar school. Well, they went down to Mr. Blackwell, who was principal of the grammar school. Got out all the records, they discussed, they analyzed, and then they analyzed those who had analyzed. Mr. Blackwell said, well, I don't want to discourage your depression, but it just appears to me that she wasn't ready for grammar school when she left home. Now you see, the trouble wasn't somebody else's. It wasn't the college. It wasn't the high school. It wasn't the grammar school. But the trouble lay in their life. And so the nation of Israel, and I'm saying this to you today, my friend, because the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're for the pulling down of strongholds. And those strongholds, even though our weapons are not carnal, they're spiritual weapons, we have to be on our guard every day that we don't fall into the same trap as national Israel did. Amen?
Amen.
Sure, that's right. You've got sense enough to know that. But while God was suffering the enemy to invade his own people's land, God was going to use a man by the name of Gideon to deliver them. I want you to keep that in mind. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of Midian, the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet. You know, the Lord always works on both ends of the line, doesn't he? You know, didn't matter how bad the case was, the Lord was still on the throne, and right in the middle of that, the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel and said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you your land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Now that's what the prophet said. And I'll tell you right now, you know, there's sometimes, you know, that God's word offends people. You know that? You know, I don't want to offend anybody just to be offending somebody. Let me tell you this today, and I'll say this to anybody. If the truth offends you, you just stand offended. Amen.
Amen.
You just stand offended. I'm sorry. The prophet said, the Lord brought you up out of Egypt. The Lord did all these things for you, but ye have not obeyed his voice. And the Lord, and there came an angel of the Lord. Now I want you to get this. This is very important. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree, which was at Ophrah. And at that same time, Joash's son, named Gideon, threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. You see, here was this man that was threshing wheat. He was a good farmer, but he was having to do it kind of in private to keep the Midianites from destroying his crop. All right? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. You know, I've heard folks say they've seen angels. You know, I'd like to have that experience, Brother Worth. I've never seen one. Mom always thought I was an angel. Amen. I was the best boy she had. Yes, sir. You know, you'd ask my mother about it, and I guarantee you, she'd tell you he's got a halo. But of course, Daddy knew better than that. And you knew better than that. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Now you see, here's an old boy out here that's threshing wheat. He hadn't got a clue in the world what's going on, but all of a sudden an angel appeared to him and said this, "The Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor." And Gideon said unto him, "Oh my Lord."
Yeah.
You know, that's what I said, "Oh my Lord."
Yeah.
"Oh my Lord, if the Lord's with us." You know, this wine business can give it its head, you know, I mean, can go anywhere. "If the Lord is with us, why has all this befallen us?" He said, "If the Lord is with us, where's all his miracles at? Oh, he delivered us from the hand of the enemy in Egypt. He's done all the miracles that he did. He caused quail to fly into the camp, brought water from a rock. If the Lord is with us, why has all this befallen us?" Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivers us into the hands of Midian, and the Lord looked upon him. Do you see who this was? He said the Lord looked upon him.
Yeah.
Here was an appearance of a theophanies. Now don't that do something far? You know what that means? That's just the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And here the Bible said, and the Lord looked upon him. You see, this wasn't just something with a halo and wings. The Bible says the Lord looked upon him.
Yeah.
You see, the Lord looked upon him. Verse 14, and said, "Go this thy in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" Here's the question. Then here is Gideon's argument. Now I want you to read Hebrews 11:35, and you'll find that Gideon is mentioned with characters of faith. Read those roll call of the characters of the faith. If you get on down there, there's old Gideon.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it down there. He didn't talk about all of them, but Gideon's there, and he's just as important as Abraham. But listen now. "Go thy way, and you're going to have my blessing to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" I want to tell you sometime, my friend, it always makes a difference when the Lord sends somebody. Always makes a difference.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there's some folks that try to do it on their own. But I'll tell you, when the Lord sends,
There
is a determined result that the devil in all hell cannot change.
Amen.
You see, the Bible says this. And Gideon began to talk. And he said, "Lord, circumstances are too bad." He said, the first thing, he said, "My family is poor in Manasseh."
Yeah.
"We don't have any social standing. There's nothing about my family that would give me any kind of authority, any kind of hope to do what you're telling me to do. Remember, if God be for us, now who can be against us?"
Yeah.
"Don't forget it. My family, socially, they're just not there. We're from the other side of the track. And not only that, I'm the least in my father's house." You know, it's funny. One man said one time, said, "The Bible says the Lord moves in mysterious ways." Bible don't say such a thing, but I'm going to tell you, it's implied there.
Yeah.
The Lord moves in mysterious ways. He does things with instruments that you and I don't understand. But I want you to understand that whatever it is, I don't care what it is or what it seems like, it is always right.
Amen.
Don't you forget it. I don't care how evil it may seem to those in this world. When the Lord said, "You destroy all the Amalekites, you destroy the infant, the suckling," and everybody, the Lord said, they said, "Oh, what a cruel God." I want to tell you right now, what God does is right.
Amen.
Don't you forget it. that offends you, you've been offended by the truth. What God does is right. God suffered his only begotten Son to die on the cross. He suffered wicked men to do what they had been predetermined to do. And bless God, it was right.
Yes, it was. Amen.
The only reason you'll live in heaven today is because what evil men did. When they crucified the Son of God four times, the Bible tells us that they killed the Prince of Life. Now, as far as men were concerned, they killed him. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down to myself. Jesus laid down his life. Men didn't kill him. Or as far as they're concerned, they did. If they're thinking they killed him. But I want to tell you right now, he laid down his life. As strange as that was, it was right.
Yeah.
And the end result of it, predetermined before the world began, was that you and I would have a place in heaven itself.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Gideon didn't understand all that was going on. And the apostles never did put it all together. But I'll tell you what he said. He tried every excuse in the world. He said this. He said, now, he said, Lord, he said, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He said, wherewith shall I save Israel? You know what the Lord said to him? I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Oh, think about that. And he said to him, if I have found grace in thy sight, Lord, just give me a sign. Give me a sign. Give me something to show me that this is right. I will see it with my eyes. You see. You know, I like to see things too. I like to see things. But I'll tell you, sometimes it takes faith. You know, sometimes it takes faith for us to put all that together.
Yeah.
It does. Now, the reason I say that is that we walk by faith, says the Bible, and not by sight. If we could see everything that we want to do, I want to tell you right now, our faith would be null and void. But faith is a gift of God. It doesn't come by the preaching of the gospel. It doesn't come because you wanted it. But faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Galatians 5:22 says it. It's the seventh fruit of the Spirit. You read it. I don't have time to deal with it, but I'll give you that and I'll charge you this morning. Gideon said, Lord, give me a sign. Well, The angel says this, and I tell you what to do. Said, you prepare a kid and lay it on the rock. You make an offering, you lay it on the rock, and said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You take the end of your staff, and you touch that rock, and fire's going to come up out of the rock and going to consume the offering. Well, sure enough, it did that very thing.
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough. Gideon said, now, Lord, I know I wanted a sign. But he said this. He said, I perceive that the angel of the Lord was there. And Gideon said, alas, O Lord, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. Now you get that. The Lord said to him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And Gideon built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. And to this very day, the Bible said it is called Jehovah Shalom. You know what that means? That the Lord is peace. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you right now, when the doctor comes in and gives you some bad news, when bad news comes about your family, when bad news or some circumstances arise that you can't handle, that a doctor can't help you with, that a teacher can't help you with, that your preacher can't help you with, but you know what? There is a God of peace that rules and reigns.
Yeah.
And is able to give you peace in the darkest hour. The God of peace. And it came to pass the same night that He took his father's bullock and threw down the altar of Baal. I'm going to skip some things here. But I want to come to chapter 7 because there's a time in here when Gideon said, Lord, I know I asked you for a sign, but I want another sign. I just want one more, that's all. That's all I want, one more. He said, tonight, he said, I'm going to put out a fleece of wool.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay out this fleece. And he said, if you'll just give me this, I won't ask you for anything else. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to lay out this fleece of wool. And tonight, when the dew falls, let it just fall on the fleece and the ground be dry. That's all I'll need. Next morning, he got up. You know what he found? The fleece was wet. The ground was dry. You know what the Bible said? He wrung out. You know what it is to wring out a dishcloth? You remember Grandma Harker used to have a thing called a wringer washer. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Sit on the back porch. Had two tubs. I'd like to have it. They'd be worth $1 million. It really would. But they had a wringer on it. You know what she'd say? Keep your fingers away from that wringer. Because it's going to press the water out of those clothes. And that's what it was. He wrung it out. You know how much he wrung out? A bowl full of water. A bowl full of water. Well, Lord, I know I told you that, but I want one more. That's all I want. One more. Now, you give me the fire coming up out of the rock. I've wrung a bowl of water out of the place just now. One more. That's it. One more. That's it. He said, now tonight, let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. Well, sure enough, got up the next morning. You know, the Lord's long-suffering, isn't he? The Lord puts up with a little. You know, I've said this, the Lord's got to have a sense of humor to put up with us. You know that? The ground was dry, and the fleece was dry, and the ground was wet.
Yeah.
Now, what am I going to do now? Well, he said, I want you to go. He said, just listen to me. I sent thee, thy mighty man of valor. Here's some folks, the Midianites and the Amalekites. Do you know what their numbers were? The Bible says that they were like grasshoppers.
Yeah.
That's how many there were. Mm-hmm. How many do you have, Gideon? Here's a group of folks that's like grasshoppers. They're everywhere you turn. How many you got? How many am I going to fight with, Lord? All I got is 22,000. Lord said, that's too many. Oh, boy. That's too many. Well, Lord, you mean to tell me I've got to take 22,000 and fight this whole crowd? And they're like grasshoppers. You got too many. You got too many. You know what? He said, you tell them everybody that's afraid and they want to leave, let them leave. Well, to make a long story short, and that's hard to do right here, but I'll tell you right now, he made this statement. You know what? 12,000 left. 12,000 is gone. All he had 10,000. 10,000 left. Now, Lord, what am I going to do? You mean I'm going to go away? He said, you still got too many. Still got too many. Lord, this ain't right. There's something wrong somewhere. To know the will of God is my greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is my greatest challenge. You hear? Listen to you young folks today. To know the will of God is found not in the educational systems of our world, but it's found here.
Amen.
We met here this morning, Elder Raven. Lord said one time, to hear the will read.
Yeah.
We find it here. I'll tell you right now, when we hear the will read, we find out that now, to know the will of God, oh, that's my greatest knowledge, but to do the will of God is the challenge.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Gideon said, Lord, I ain't got 10,000. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take them down to the river. He said, and the ones that lap water like a dog, Let them be the ones that you'll deliver Israel with. He said, Lord, this can't be right. This is the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
A familiar text with an unfamiliar story.
Yeah.
You see, you read this to the average congregation somewhere and they say, you never heard of it. I'm sure you have. But they never heard of it. Now listen to this. When they got through, 7,700 were disqualified.
Yeah.
All he had left is 300. Lord, there's no way. Now he said, that's too many at one time. I want you to divide them up in three groups. 100 men here, 100 men here, and 100 men here. Well, now what you want me to do? I want you to march around the city. I want them to have a light in one hand. I want them to have a pitcher in the other. And he said, there's going to come a time that Gideon says to these men, I want you to break the pitchers and I want you to shine the light. And he said, when I do that, you say this, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You get that. Sure enough, with 300 men, 300 men, they did exactly what God had told them to do, and the enemy began to run over one another. They began to flee so fast that they didn't know which way to go. There was utter and massive confusion among the enemy because of a broken pitcher and a shining light.
Yeah.
I tell you right now, my friend, when God Almighty blesses you, when God Almighty shows you and reveals to you His knowledge and the challenges presented to you, it almost seems an impossibility sometimes. But if God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
That's His proposition. And there we see the enemy defeated. But again, notice the fallacy of Israel. Notice the determination. When all of this was over, the Bible says that the men of Israel came to Gideon. Now, they didn't take them long to forget what the Lord did for them. Didn't take them long to forget. Now, a while ago, I mentioned Thanksgiving. You know, we ought to be we ought to have a Thanksgiving every day. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's good or bad, we ought to have a Thanksgiving. And that's the reason Paul could say, "In everything, give thanks."
Yeah.
If you'd ask Gideon when the Lord is dealing with him with an angel and speaking to him, I'd imagine he wouldn't give much thanks. But after all of this, he saw the miracles of God. He began to see what God was able to do and what God was doing through him, who was the instrument of deliverance. And when all of that was over, when the enemy was gone and Israel was victorious, Israel lost sight in just a few days of how God had blessed them. You know what they came to Gideon and said? The men of Israel said, read it now in Judges 8:22. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us. You see, they said that to Gideon. They forgot the Lord.
Yeah.
Rule thou over us. But we want to go further than that. We don't want you to only rule. We want your sons and your son's sons to rule over us. And the Bible says, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. You see how they cut the Lord out?
Yeah.
You see how they carved the Lord out? I want to tell you right now, in today's religion, my friend, the Lord is cut out.
Yeah.
Don't you forget it. In today's religion, the Lord is censored because everything is based on the willingness of man to cooperate with the God of heaven. I want to tell you right now, my friend, your salvation in heaven is not a cooperative effort.
No. Amen.
It is based solely and wholly upon the work of Christ, the one man
who went to the cross, who men said was a sinner. They said, this man's not of God, he's of the devil. He's cast out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. Jesus said, if I'm casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, and I am of the devil, then the devil is divided against himself, and a house divided against itself cannot stand.
Yeah.
Jesus said that. They forgot God. Today, modern religion has to have something else. Modern religion has to have men who are willing. I'll tell you right now, men who are willing may let you down. Men who are willing oftentimes lose sight of the purpose of God if they ever knew it. But I'm telling you right now, when God works on both ends of the line, don't you forget, you can write it in the history book already. It's a done deal. God Almighty's faithfulness cannot be challenged. I don't care whether Gideon liked it or not. God had already arranged it. You hear me? I don't care whether you like it or not. God's already arranged it. Doesn't make a difference. Doesn't change a thing. But don't you forget God. Men are prone to do that. Lord, the men of Israel came and said this. Now what we want you to do is just rule over us, but not only us. We want your sons and your sons' sons. And Gideon said unto them, listen what he said. What a great man of character he was. Listen to what he said. And Gideon said unto them. Now a lot of times, you know, men would like to glory in that. A lot of times, you know, everybody likes a pat on the back.
Yep.
Everybody likes that. We've got a nature about us like that. You know, one day I was going to, I believe it was my neighbor, and I was going to help him put a swing set together. He was going to work one day, and the swing set was in a box. You know, it was in a box, not as long as that bench, not as wide as that bench. But when you put it up, it was a great big structure, but you had to put a piece together. I was going to help him do that. He's working a lot of overtime. He didn't have time to do it. And I started putting that thing together. Let me tell you right now, that was a serious mistake. Because when I got through, I had more left over and I had not started. They were nuts and bolts and chains. And I didn't know where they went. And finally, you know what I did? I took them and I just hid them somewhere. He never didn't know they existed. The thing worked good. But he never did know all the pieces weren't there. Well, I want to tell you something today, my friend. There's a lot of God's children that don't know all the pieces are not there. Well, I'll tell you, they're all there. And they all fit.
Yeah.
If they're put in the right place.
Amen.
Gideon said unto them, I'm not going to rule over you. Neither is my son's going to rule over you. But the Lord shall rule over you.
Amen.
You see, that's always something that we need to keep in our mind. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the question.
Yeah.
Now, I could go into a lot more of this, but I want to give you one other example here, and I want you to notice at what takes place. You give me about 4 minutes. Jesus was about to go to the cross, Matthew 26 and 40. And his disciples went with him. And he went across the book of Kidron and he began to pray. And he came back, and you know what? You know what they were doing? They were asleep. What?
Yeah.
They were asleep. You know what Jesus said? Can you not pray with me for 1 hour?
Yeah.
just stay awake for 1 hour. Can you not do it with me for 1 hour? But then he told them the reason why. And it's good for you and good for you and good for me today to have this centered in our mind and burned in our mind and written in our mind with indelible ink. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes, it is.
There is where the hinge is. That's the reason Israel is in trouble. That's the reason we get in trouble. That's the reason the disciples stood in unbelief. That's the reason that Jesus Christ came back and told them. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I'm going to tell you right now, that hadn't changed one bit. He is risen today. The flesh is weak. Now, I'm going to close with this, and I want you to notice what he said. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Listen to this other question. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died.
Yes.
Rather than is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also, and that word also means in addition to all this,
yeah.
Who also maketh intercession for us.
Amen.
Then another question is that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'll tell you right now, there's the insurance.
Yeah.
There's the policy that you can depend on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. Ask Gideon, he can give you the details.
Yeah.
For we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, I don't know much about sheep. We never did have them in North Alabama. We had plenty of goats, but we didn't have any sheep. But the other day I was watching RFB channel, and it was a program that already been on. But they're having a sheep. They're having a class judging. And there were a pen here that was filled with lambs, and another pen over here that was filled with ewes. That's mothers. And of all the bleeding I've never heard, made more racket, you couldn't understand, you couldn't hear yourself think because of the bleeding of the ewes and the bleeding of the lambs. But all of a sudden, the judge opened the gates, and in a matter of seconds, the bleeding stopped. Not bleeding now, the bleeding. The blading, let's use it like that. Because every ewe knew its lamb. That lamb went straight to its mother. There wasn't any question about it. And I thought about that great sheep sermon that Jesus preached about in John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. You see? I know them.
Yeah.
I know them. They follow me.
Amen.
You see what he says? Every one of them went to his own. He didn't have to check them out to recognize them. Immediately they were recognizable. And I'll tell you, that's how it is with you today. Gideon was a man of valor. Gideon was a great man. He is mentioned with the characters of the faith. But I want to tell you right now that if you'll read on about Gideon, here's the sad state. There was something called an ephod that Gideon began to wear. Even after he told him, I'm not going to rule over you, my son's not going to rule over you, but an ephod. And it could have been, we're some disagreement in what it was. It could have been some kind of an emblem around his neck. It could have been a robe. But Gideon, even himself, began to adorn himself with the things of this world, called an ephod. And they began to look at him. They began to look. Oh, he's on his way up. He's on his way up. My friend, I want to tell you right now, you as people of God today, you younger folks, I want you to do well. I want you to get a good education. I can't emphasize that enough. But in all of that, on your way up, do you know that the way up oftentimes is down?
Yeah.
The way up to success is oftentimes down.
Yeah.
Because when the Lord lifts you up, in his righteousness, you begin to see your righteousness fail to the background. May God help us today not to be guilty of adorning ourselves with an ephod.
Yeah.
May God help us today to remember the thought that my sons will not rule over you, but God shall rule over you. And right in the middle of all of that, still understand and know that the Lord knows you as his own sheep, that he calls you sheep by name, that they are his, and none can pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. Bless God, if God be for us,
amen,
who can be against us?
Amen.
What a wonderful message this is for us. God help us to remember that in everything give thanks, to rejoice evermore, and pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't know, I've enjoyed trying to preach any more than I have this morning. May God bless you in a wonderful way. If you're here today and you love these things that we love, when you come, we'll put your case before the church, and the church will hear you. Thank you for your real good order and your kind attention, and may God help you to remember, if God be for us, who can be against us? What's your number, brother?